The material in this podcast is for information purposes only. It does not represent the opinions of Vested Finance and is not intended to be investment advice. We recommend you to consult with a financial advisor before committing to any financial decisions. Hi everyone, I'm Kaihan, co-host of the Vested Finance podcast. Vested is an internet platform that empowers global investors to invest in US equities. Welcome to episode number 24. Joining us today is Darwin, co-founder of Vested Finance.
As always, glad to be here, Kai. What will we be discussing today?
Today, we'll be talking about Roblox's recent IPO and the concept of the metaverse and niche social media in the form of gaming.
Right. So to give our listeners some context of the magnitude of the gaming scene, Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, once said that they compete with a broad set of competitors ranging from Facebook, YouTube, to Disney, and even Fortnite. So Netflix's objective is to get users' screen time, and more often than not, they lose to gaming compared to other streaming providers.
Yes, but in the landscape of media consumption, gaming is often categorized as a separate segment, even though most consumers under the age of 45 prefer to play video games than to passively watch television or movies. So let's narrow our discussion on the recently public Roblox. The company was supposed to go public last year, but they cancelled their plans and only went public just last week via direct listing.
Yeah, and a good thing that they did that. The additional delay was good for the company's valuation as the IPO market remained hot throughout the first quarter of 2021. And the tailwinds on the business, you know, trends in gaming and people spending more time consuming content more generally, were also good for Roblox's growth. The company had hoped to get a higher IPO pricing after seeing Airbnb and DoorDash spike after their first day of trading late last year. Roblox saw it as examples of companies underpricing their IPO and leaving money on the table. So they postponed their IPO last year and decided to do a direct listing, as you mentioned.
Right. And after they canceled going about the traditional IPO route, the company decided to go public via direct listing this time. So what this means is that they did not need to issue new shares. Only insiders, meaning previous investors and employees, sold shares to public investors, and this minimized the dilution to the existing shareholder base.
Yes, but let's shift gear and talk about Roblox. What is it? It's actually a very interesting company. It's part gaming platform, part user-generated social media, and part digital marketplace. Here's a snippet from the company's S1. And to quote, an average of 36.2 million people from around the world come to Roblox every day to connect with friends. Together, they plan, learn, communicate, explore, expand their friendship, all in a three-dimensional digital worlds that are entirely user-generated, built by our community of nearly 7 million active developers. We call this emerging category human co-experience. So from the get-go, you can tell that they aspire to be more than just a gaming platform, right? And to continue the quote, which we consider to be the new form of social interaction we envisioned back in 2004. Our platform is powered by user-generated content and draws inspiration from gaming, entertainment, social media, and even toys. End quote. So the ecosystem that Roblox is trying to build is often called a metaverse. It is a collection of persistent, shared, three-dimensional virtual spaces in a virtual universe. As a side note, though, metaverse is an old concept in sci-fi novels. It was first introduced by Neal Stephenson in 1992 in his science fiction novel, Snow Crash. The most recent popular implementation of metaverse is probably Ernest Cline's Ready Player One, which was made into a movie by Steven Spielberg. Although the concept in sci-fi novel is a couple decades old, Roblox is the first public company that explicitly pursuing this metaverse concept as a business. The other company is Epic Games, creator of Fortnite. Now, unlike Roblox that is trying to create closed sandbox, Epic is trying to create its metaverse by licensing its highly popular game engine, the Unreal Engine. So here's an illustration of the Roblox metaverse. First, Roblox creates this platform that can be used by players to play and by developers to create different types of experiences or game. Players can access Roblox metaverse from any device capable of running the client, although most players access it via their smartphone, which actually has profound impact on profitability. But more on this later. players can also create their digital avatar, a digital version of their self that they can equip with various digital accessories that persist throughout all the different games on the Roblox platform. And finally, players can choose various experiences or games that are developed by multiple independent developers.
Great. Thanks for the summary on the metaverse. Now let's get into how Roblox makes money. In essence, Roblox operates a two-sided marketplace. On one end of the spectrum, you have the players who spend USD and buy Robux, which is the platform's digital currency. So for reference, every 1 cent gets you 1 Robux. This allows you to buy everything ranging from experiences or games to digital items such as hats, clothes, and other accessories, to even emotes, which allows players to express emotions during gameplay. Players can also subscribe to a premium membership. This helps to generate recurring revenue for the company.
Right. And on the other side, you have developers who earn Robux for creating games, digital items, and even tools to sell to other developers. Developers also earn Robux based on engagement metrics. The more time players spend on a certain experience, the more Robux that they can earn. And the Robux that these developers earn can be exchanged to US dollar at a rate that is about 0.0035. dollars per Robux, which is almost 3 times lower than what the players get. As you can see, the company actually generates revenue from the Robux to US dollars conversion at a pretty large bid-ask spread. And also, the company takes a cut for every transaction that occurs on the platform. For example, when a player buys experiences or digital items, for every Robux spent, the company takes about 30% cut. The developer receives the remaining 70%. When a player spends Robux in the avatar marketplace to buy these digital accessories, though, the company takes 70% cut, giving the creator the remaining 30%. In essence, Roblox operates a metaverse and generates revenue from two primary sources. As I mentioned, number one is the US dollar to the Robux conversion. And number two, it takes a pretty hefty tax on the transactions, the commerce that happens within the platform. You mentioned it's a two-sided marketplace, right? And it does have a network effect. The more people participate in the metaverse, the higher their engagement, the more money they spend. And because there are more players that are attracted to the platform, there will be more developers to develop more experiences, which results in more games, which will in turn attract more users. And then after you have this flywheel going, Roblox, the company, can now also further monetize via advertisement of games. And all the above translates to more transactions within the platform, generating even more revenue.
So then what about metrics? Because the activities in a social media gaming platform are fundamental to strengthening its network effect, Roblox would need to look at engagement in the form of daily active users, or DAU. So the first question is then, what does the growth of the user base look like? As with many other digital platforms and social media companies, the number of DAU grew rapidly in the second half of 2020, mostly due to the global lockdown, increasing by 97% in Q3 2020 as compared to the same period in 2019. To put that in context, the total DAU for Roblox is 5 times smaller than that of Twitter.
Right. And the second question is, how engaged are these users? Based on the S1, Roblox has a higher engagement rate compared to other social media platforms. On average, a user spends about 2.6 hours per day on Roblox, which is about 2 times higher than the average time spent on a typical social media platform, at least in the US. But if you compare all of them to Netflix, Netflix is still king in terms of number of hours spent on the platform. On average, a Netflix user spends about 4 hours a day on Netflix. And then the third question one would ask is, who are these users, right? Roblox's games are currently very popular with younger children. As of Q3 of 2020, 58% of its user base are 13 years old or younger. This means that they have lower purchasing ability. The company's ability to continue its growth is really predicated on its ability to expand to other demographics and potentially expand beyond gaming experiences. Now, there's also a second implication. When you have the majority of user base being so young, you have to spend heavily on safety and content moderation. if you look at the line items on infrastructure and trust and safety expense for the company, it's pretty high. It's 32% of the revenue. So because of the pandemic, the number of users and their engagement have increased. As a result, the average revenue that Roblox extract from the average player increases. Now, to be clear, this is just addressing one side of the two-sided marketplace, right? Just the players. So in the first three quarters of 2020, Roblox was able to extract about $39 per user, which puts the company on track to exceed more than $50 per user for the entire 2020. Q4 revenue is typically the highest for the company.
Then how does this compare to other subscription services or social media platforms over the same time period? Facebook, for instance, they achieved $160 per user, largely from advertising, while Netflix extracted nearly $97 per user. And then you have Snap, which pales in comparison with a meager $26 per user, also mostly generated from advertising. All in all, this isn't bad for Roblox, considering they're still early in the expansion process. Roblox can extract more revenue per active user than Snap and is only 2.5 times smaller than that of Netflix.
Yes, and as I mentioned, to improve the revenue per daily active users, it's important that Roblox can expand its core user demographic to an older audience and even expand use cases beyond gaming. For it to do that, the company will need to continue to enhance its graphical capabilities. At the moment, Roblox's graphics are really optimized for playability over a wide array of devices, from a low-powered smartphone to the state-of-the-art PC. Because of that, the company imposes constraints on quality and fidelity of the game and the types of experiences, right? When you compare Roblox's games and experiences, it's not as sophisticated as a lot of the epic Unreal engines can provide. Over time, though, the expectation is that the graphical capabilities of Roblox will improve.
Now, talk of revenue, metrics, and the like are all well and good, but we shouldn't gloss over risks. There are two key risks that we want to highlight here. The first being costs are high. And the key question then becomes whether or not Roblox will have the profitability margin of a software company. And the second being valuation.
On expenses, if you look at the top three expenses for the company, number one is developer exchange fee, which is a payment it pays to developers. Number two is infrastructure and trust and safety. And number three, it's cost of revenue. Largely, the 30% cut that Apple and Google takes as part of the App Store fee. Now, for 2020, these three expenses sum up to about 94% of total revenue. And it's unlikely that these numbers will go down in the future. Payment to developers will not go down, right? If you have more players, you have more developers, the more you have to pay to the developers, unless, of course, you take higher percentage of the revenue that developers earn, but that could hurt the ecosystem. Number two, it's the App Store cut that is of order of 30%. It's unlikely that Google or Apple will relinquish their take rate from that revenue stream, right? Because this is really a testament of the duopoly of the app stores, both Apple and Google. And in the near term, as long as the core audience is children, it's unlikely that trust and safety expenses will meaningfully decline. So what all this means is that despite the software nature of the business, Roblox might not be as profitable as other social media and software companies. The good thing, though, is that the company barely spends money on sales and marketing, so its growth appears to be largely organic. And as for the second risk, as is true for a lot of recent hot IPOs, Roblox's valuation does not seem to make sense. The company's not profitable yet, so we look at the price-to-sales ratio from the last 12 months and compare that with some of the peers we mentioned here and some of other gaming companies, right? As of the publication of this podcast, Roblox's price-to-sales ratio is about 41. Remember last week when we spoke about Coinbase's IPO, it was north of 70. And even the highly valued Tesla is of order of 21 times. Roblox is valued twice more expensively than Tesla. And it's actually valued 4 times higher than Netflix and Activision Blizzard, which both have about 10 times price to sales. Now, in contrast, Facebook is at about 8.6, EA is 6.9 in Take-Two. The maker of the highly profitable Grand Theft Auto is at 6.2 times price to sales. So in comparison, Roblox is very, very expensive.
Well, that wraps up another in-depth analysis. Hopefully, we're able to give you some insight into Roblox and the vertical gaming social media arena.
As a side note, though, analyzing Roblox's business gives us some insight to the fight between Epic and Apple, at least to the reasoning of it. We mentioned before that Epic, the creator of Fortnite, is also trying to create a metaverse by using the Unreal Engine. Basically, Epic licensed the Unreal Engine to everybody, actually, to Sony, to a lot of first-party developers, even the U.S. military, to create a three-dimensional simulation. But what Epic made news recently was that it's actually fighting a legal battle with Apple over the 30% Apple store fee. Unfortunately, Epic is not public, so we don't know the profitability yet. It's about 40% owned by Tencent. But most recently, it made news when it went toe-to-toe with Apple over the 30% Apple store tax that it deemed unfair. Basically, Apple takes about 30% cut over digital payments within Fortnite. And after seeing Roblox's number, you can see why Epic made the stand and why reducing the Apple store fees will be important to get higher margins for these companies. For that matter, the case between Apple and Epic is still being litigated. Anywho, that's it for this week. Thanks, Kai. Looking forward to chatting again next week.
To our listeners, we hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode. For more insights into markets and emerging technologies, please visit our blog at vested.co.in. As always, take care and stay safe.